What if we could reimagine the traditional notion of a high flyer? Hey friends, welcome back or welcome to the High Flyers podcast. For the curious ones, where we share diverse experiences in life, not just work, tune in and learn to fly high in your own way, from value creators and problem solvers at all aspects of society. Learn about their sunrise, magic moments, hustle, and so much more to help us all be 1% better every day together. And I'm your host, Vidit Agarwal.
And the other part that I was really keen on was to connect life and work. I think there's a lot of podcasts and a lot of interviews out there, particularly on LinkedIn as we are today, where the conversation is often just about work.
Yeah.
And I think as you've seen and I've seen in my life, work only comes if your life's on the right path and if you have people around you. And I think we're all a product of our environment to an extent and a product of our upbringing. So I'm always fascinated by what makes people who they are. What was their childhood like? Were they always like that? Were they introverted and then they came out of their shell? And I think that's been something that's been encouraging and the listeners have appreciated is hearing the stories of people that you might not think something of or you might make assumptions about.
This episode's a recording from the Leadership Conference Series hosted by Chloe Temple, and I was really glad to join her to share a bit more about how this podcast started, my definition of a high flyer, leadership lessons, memorable guests, advice for creating a podcast, the upcoming launch of Curiosity Center, and a whole lot more.
We are live. How exciting! Welcome, welcome, Vidya. I know I've seen you backstage for about 2 seconds. But I wanted to just start by saying a big, big thank you for coming on and saying yes. And a huge, 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 huge congratulations. Oh, which way around does this go? Congratulations on the 50th episode. How are you feeling?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yeah, it's sort of surreal doing 50 episodes. I spoke about it on the 50th that when it started, it was sort of just a start, right? You don't think of 50. It's too far a dream to think that far out, but it's finally here. So, yeah, just thank you to all the guests and listeners, including yourself, who've been part of the journey.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed kind of watching the journey from, I mean, 50 is a huge commitment in terms of like in terms of a take. Did you know that you were taking on 50 when you started?
No, so to give some context, I think I reached out to about 6 people at the start.
Yeah.
And these are sort of 6 safe people that would say yes to it and I would feel comfortable having on the show. And all 6 said yes and it just went from there. I mean, that's kind of what you talk about with your work as well. It sort of snowballs. Where you make that first move and things start happening. But yeah, your word commitment I think is important, and that process has probably been the thing that surprised me the most, is that it's shiny at the start, but then it becomes work, and to keep up with it is a real commitment to yourself. And yeah, I mean, 50 is it's just a start, hopefully, and hopefully 50 more and 100 more, so we'll see what goes.
Amazing. A friend of mine has a podcast and she's celebrating her 150th episode this week. So hopefully for you, 50, and as you say, another 100 to go. But huge recognition to the amount of, and you've just said it there, commitment, the discipline, what it takes in order to really bring something to life. That's that higher commitment. I think at the moment you're releasing episodes. Is it weekly?
Yeah, it's been weekly probably the past 6 months, I'd say. Yeah.
Yeah, it's and what did it start with?
So it's a funny story. I should share this. Initially, it started fortnightly, but I got paranoid that I wouldn't have enough guests. So I think I recorded the first 3 months in the first probably month.
Yeah.
And I had episodes lined up, and then it got really awkward where I'd record an episode and tell the guest I'd be out in 2 months. And it was my paranoia of losing guests or people sort of pulling out last minute. So, it was, now I'm on a cadence of record, release, which I think is a lot better in terms of just keeping it simpler and keeping it more recency information. Yeah, but it started off fortnightly and then it moved to weekly because I had too many episodes to release, funnily enough.
It's a quality problem to have too many episodes. But so yeah, no, it's, and having been part of it myself, it's a kind of great opportunity as well for the people that you invite on to actually reflect themselves. I'm sure some of them don't get that sort of opportunity too often. I think what we probably missed at the start of this was introducing, so the podcast is called the High Flyers Podcast. Perhaps if you can share a little bit about kind of what it is, what do you mean by a high flyer, and you know, really the intention behind the creation.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? I think the high flyers have a certain connotation attached to it, and I intentionally chose the high flyers because I think gives a certain level of credibility to the show. I think when people think of high flyers, they think of someone who's made a mark in some facet. But I wanted to reimagine that and not just keep high flyers to CEOs or presidents, but really keep it to anyone and everyone, as long as they're adding value in the world and solving problems and being a bit better than yesterday. That was the kind of ethos and the notion to start it. In terms of why I started it, so at the start of COVID last year, in March, April, I was out of work, as I'm sure a lot of people were. And frankly, we didn't know where the world was going to go, and there was a lot of uncertainty. And I always wanted to start something of my own, but frankly, didn't have the belief or the confidence to start it. And I remember talking to Mum, and then she said, "You enjoy talking to people, you enjoy learning from people. Why don't you share that with a wider audience? And you can keep yourself busy, you can create something on the side, and then when you get a job, you can decide what you want to do with it." And like you mentioned, 16 months on, it's a big part of my life now, and that's how it started. And I think even the people that I first asked to be on the show were people that I considered mentors or people that I looked out to in a way that I caught up with for a coffee or for a conversation, but the audience was just me. And I think sharing that with a bigger audience has been nice for me and for them to share their stories, like you said. And the other part that I was really keen on was to connect life and work. I think there's a lot of podcasts and a lot of interviews out there, particularly on LinkedIn as we are today, where the conversation's often just about work.
Yeah.
And I think, as you've seen and I've seen in my life, work only comes if your life's on the right path and if you have people around you. And I think we're all a product of our environment to an extent and a product of our upbringing. So I'm always fascinated by what makes people who they are. What was their childhood like? Were they always like that? Were they introverted and then they came out of their shell? And I think that's been something that's been encouraging, and the listeners have appreciated it, is hearing the stories of people that you might not think something of or you might make assumptions about. And I think even just my relationships, I mean, I've had a number of people on the show who I thought I knew, but then when you bring them on the show and you ask them to share their childhood and their painful moments and their kind of internal thinking, you get to know them at a deeper human level, as you mentioned. And that's made me richer for it, frankly, and made the whole of the world better for it, is to hear some of these stories that aren't as public.
Yeah. Absolutely, as someone who's listened to lots of the episodes, it's amazing to see the kind of like veil of your perception of what these people with these titles and these in these amazing roles with these incredible careers, or who have done, you know, unbelievable things. It's amazing to see, you know, where they've started and what got them there, and actually even, you know, I'm interested to hear your view on kind of the themes of what you've heard through it. But certainly for me, what stuck out is the impact of family and the impact of parents and influences, really, from that. Because one of the segments, for anyone who hasn't listened to the podcast, one of the segments is around sunrise. That really is around kind of the start of childhood and that start of life and the impact that can then have. Even the way that people are telling those stories on the rest of their life is really, really interesting. Really, really interesting. And, you know, it's great. That was the first time that I've heard you share that kind of your mum was the inspiration for it. And I think that's really, really beautiful there. And like, look at it now, kind of top 20 podcast within India, I think within Hong Kong, possibly other countries as well. That is one hell of an achievement for something that started out as just, oh, well, I'll try six episodes and see where it lands.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so perhaps, you know, I mean, you've had one of the things I'm most interested in, wanted to get you onto this conversation, because similar to you, leadership, there is so much of leadership confidence that people think that other people have it. And I know that you've had so much, you've heard from some amazing guests. So I wondered whether or not you had could share with this audience some of the kind of pearls of wisdom that might have come up from some of the leaders and from some of the guests that you've had on the show.
Yeah, definitely. I think one thing to preface that is also that you don't have to become a leader to be on the show. I think a lot of people are on the journey to becoming a leader, and I think that's equally exciting to hearing some of those pitfalls and some of those experiences as they go through the journey of life. I mentioned earlier that it's been sort of industry and journey agnostic. I think that's been the beauty of it, is such a variety of perspective. I'm obviously based in Australia, but I think not just people in Australia, but people in other countries as well. So I think you mentioned earlier about teams. I think one of the themes that's definitely prevalent, and I one of the other reasons I started the show was to understand what makes some of these people tick and what separates them from the pack, right? And frankly, it's not a silver bullet as I thought it would be. I think it's really doing the stuff that we all do every day. I think believe in yourself, have a go. It sort of sounds very basic, but it works. I think one thing, if there is a theme, there's been a number of guests who faced adversity very early on, like you mentioned, their sunrise. And that's been fascinating, because I think you can kind of go two ways with adversity. You can either fall, become a victim out of it, or you can take it on and say, I'm going to come out of it as a better person and let it inspire you. And I think a number of guests have talked about that in a very personal sense, how that's driven them, whether it's a family member passing away at a young age, or not being great at school, or being bullied growing up, or finding their passion through failures and through experiences. And I think that's been really hopefully relatable for the guests, for the listeners to listen to and go, okay, if Chloe can do that, then I can have a go as well. And that's been really encouraging. I think another one's been is trying. I've had a number of guests on the show who've made transitions, whether it's in lives, whether it's moving countries with young kids, or whether it's something like you've done, go from a corporate job into your own business, and talk really in depth about what that experience has been like. And in a lot of the episodes, I've asked people about the before the transition and then the during process, and really into detail. Like, I'll give you an example. We had Bernie Green in one of the early episodes, and she was a senior HR leader who moved across to her own practice and now runs it very successfully. And I asked her in a lot of detail, said, what gave you the clarity to be able to make the move? And one of the things she spoke about in the episode was speaking to a financial advisor and getting clarity on what her financial plan for a family looks like, and that kind of safety, peace of mind to go, okay, if I'm going to put 6 months of my life into this new venture, can I still send my kids to school? Can I still put food on the table? And I think a lot of people wonder that, but don't quite know how to go about that practice. And she talked about it in a lot of detail. Recently, Shane Hatton was on the show, and he did something similar. And he went from the church community into starting his own practice. And I asked him what the first 3 months were like. How do you turn an idea into reality? And if listeners listen to that episode, he gives a lot of specifics around how he did it. And I think also having mentors and people you can lean on has been important. I think even though a number of these guests have had success in whichever way you define success, they still want to learn and they still have that hunger to learn. So I think, yeah, I think it's probably have a drive, having that hunger to learn, believe in yourself and be willing to fail. I think that's something that I struggled with early on when you do the podcast, because you want it to be perfect and you want it to be slick and smooth. And frankly, that doesn't happen often. If you started and make it a bit scrappy, I think people can relate to that. And then that provides connection to your clients, your customers, or your broader community. So, I mean, those have been some of the things, but yeah, I think in summary, there's no silver bullet, which could be a good thing or could be a kind of quest to find that silver bullet. But yeah, I mean, everyone's kind of got their own journey, but make what you have. And as my parents say, believe in yourself and back yourself, and then things should turn out in some way or the other in your favor.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of not turning kind of failure and stuff into making it too big, you know, today I marketed this session an hour earlier in Australia than it actually was. And, you know, that sort of mistake or whatever could back in the day have kind of crippled you and or crippled me. And whereas it's like actually recognizing that can form part of a connection, you know. So apologies for anyone who was trying to get on here at six and actually is listening to this on the recall, anyone who is live who is here and has waited patiently for an hour. So apologies for that. And I agree. I think as someone who you have a unique talent of drawing out of the guests that you have, the depth, there's real depth in the podcast of the advice that is being shared, the kind of vulnerability, the authenticity, the honesty and the transparency of some of the stories. I listened to the Shane episode yesterday, and Shane's someone who's really, really supported me as I've got started this business. He has given me some incredible advice, and I think definitely from what I had heard around kind of the themes is that who's in your support crew, and recognizing that we don't do these things on our own. There are so many other people in our lives that are actually playing a huge part in believing in us and helping us believe in ourselves and back ourselves, as you've shared. Do you have, I know this next question is a bit like asking you to choose your favorite, which one's your favorite children, but are there any guests or favorite guests or perhaps someone or a guest that kind of really surprised you, or someone that you're kind of yeah, any kind of highlights that anyone who is new to the podcast, hasn't seen anything around High Flyers might be particularly relevant, or a first one for them to jump in?
It is the question I get asked the most. So, so I get asked this on a daily basis anytime I speak to anyone. I think one of the things I'm always conscious about with this sort of question is not falling into recency bias as well. Because it can be easy to recall the recent episodes and then be very kind of have clarity in your mind on what they spoke about. But there's probably a few that I personally enjoyed because of the conversation, but also I think learned a lot about the guests. And I hold a really dear spot for the first 10 episodes. I think, like you mentioned, starting something and getting it off the ground is always the hard bit. And the first 10 are sort of that learning ground, and then making mistakes in public and having a lot of ums and ahs and all that. One that always sticks out to me is Genevieve Hawkins. So you may have heard of her name. She's a senior executive at Coles.
Yeah.
Listeners who oversees Coles are one of the large retailers in Australia. But I had her on just because of her life experience and I think her personality. And she was frankly one of my early believers and one of my mentors in my professional career. And I always share this story where even though I thought I knew her when she came on the podcast, I got to know her at a deeper level, like things you mentioned earlier on your sunrise and your painful learnings. And one thing with Jen is she is very energetic, very bubbly, very life of the room sort of person. And it can be easy to make an assumption that she's extroverted, so she's just born that way. And I remember asking her on the show that, Jen, what is it about you? Like, is there any reason you're like this? And I think she said she was the second youngest of 9 siblings. And that kind of forced her to have a voice and create an identity for herself, which I think was really inspiring to me, because I just, like everyone else, made an assumption that, okay, someone is like this because they're born that way. And I think getting that clarity that because of her environment, she had to be like that was really interesting. And she talks about this interesting notion. She's also written a book on mental health, and a very interesting book that I recommend reading is about having a personal board of mentors. So instead of going to one person for one question, why don't you have different board of mentors for different occasions? So why don't you have a silly mentor, where if you're down and you're very serious about something, go to them and they can make you have a laugh, or they can sort of take you for a ride or a joke or something like that. Or if you have a personal trainer, someone who keeps you accountable in life and checks in on you every week. So there's about six that she speaks about, which I actually released, I think, last week in a 2-minute video, if you want to check that out in the HypeWise page on LinkedIn. Another one was Ben Jesse. So he was on, again, early on, I think it was episode 4, so one of my really early believers. Mm. And he's had a fascinating journey where he grew up in Hong Kong, came to Australia as a boarding school student, and I didn't know that. So I've known him for about 4 or 5 years now, and he's kind of your typical Aussie, grew up in Melbourne, kind of selling minutes because of the culture. But he had this whole 20 years of his life in Hong Kong and in an Asian country and a breadth of cultural experiences that I didn't know about. And I think that kind of inspired him to have a career across the world. So he works in the sports industry, in the business of sport, and he's worked and lived in Australia and Hong Kong and various parts of Europe. And he talks in detail about how he made those transitions, one from Australia to Hong Kong and then to Europe in the middle of 9/11, which, as listeners might remember, was a very unknown period in the world, similar to COVID in a way, and how he managed to get a brand, a personal brand in the UK, build a network, travel and perform, and then how and why he wanted to move back to Australia and how he did that, and how when he first came back after 10 years of working experience, he didn't have a network in Australia, so he had to rebuild that and put himself out there and sort of put his ego aside and build that credibility in a new country. And he went into detail talking about that, which is really fascinating and really just inspiring. Another one would be Michael Rodriguez. So Michael Rodriguez was on, I think, around in the early 40s episodes. Mm-hmm. And he's, again, had a fantastic journey. So he's Indian heritage, but he lives in Sydney and he grew up in Sydney. And he talks a lot about his parents and the influence of that kind of Indian heritage and studying law, but then finding that law wasn't all that he wanted to do in life. He wanted to do more than that. And how he went to Dubai in the early 2000s, when Dubai was not the sprawling city that it is today, and taking a leap of faith. And then joining a startup, which is Dimat Media, which now is a juggernaut. But he built that startup from a very small team into a global company and then scaled it. But he talks about how he, midway through that startup, left the company because of certain reasons that he talks about in the show, and how that taught him about people and leadership and management, and not just the what, but also the how and the why.
Yeah.
And then more recently, he's become the commissioner of the 24-hour economy here in New South Wales, and he talks about how that is evolving with COVID and how people want to go out. So that's a very fascinating kind of multifaceted conversation. And then another one I'll mention is Holly Ransom. So Holly was, frankly, I said this to her, she was probably the one guest I've been chasing for years. Even you know, those people, you're like, she's just very cool. I want to have her on the show, and I'll just speak to her even for a 5-minute conversation. And I'm really grateful she agreed after literally pestering her. Like, if you go through my emails, I think I've sent her about 20 emails. Wow. I had one a month that I would just send her going, hey, just following up. What are your thoughts? And then eventually she agreed. So I think the other side here is persistence in the right way, but persistence, I think, pays sometimes.
Yeah.
And she's fascinating. So I think she's very accomplished, but came from a very humble background. And she's interviewed the likes of Obama and Branson and Malcolm Gladwell, written a best-selling book, runs her own business at the age of 30. And she came from a humble upbringing in Perth in Australia, and then grew up like anyone else, but kind of has created this journey for herself. And one of the things I asked her, I said, Holly, you're very articulate and you're very storied and you're very well presented in a live format. How do you do that? Because a lot of people would kind of listen to you and go, I can't be like you because you're just perfect. And she spoke about kind of, people talk about 1,000 hours, but putting in the work early on, speaking at events in school and university and kind of creating that person that she is today. And I think that goes back to something I mentioned earlier around, everyone's not born a certain way. I think you can mold yourself that way if you're willing to put in the work and have some failures and be willing to kind of ask the silly questions. So those are some of the episodes that stand out, and hopefully it gives you a flavor of the show where it's quite varied and it's not just life or work, but some of those experiences. But But yeah, to your point, Elliot, they're all interesting in their own way, but I think these are some that stand out to me. And I think the other side here is also not having a personal bias. I think I'm very passionate about sport and very passionate about culture and very passionate about kind of personal development. So I think those episodes always stand out to me at an individual level, but I'm always conscious not to be the judge because I'm doing it for a wider audience than myself.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. And each of us are on different timelines of our own journey, and so we're going to be able to take on different kind of pieces of advice that we hear. Like you were talking about Genevieve Hawkins and sharing the kind of concept of having a tribe of mentors. I was listening to the Mike Dickinson episode yesterday. I did a lot of listening to the episode yesterday, and he shared, you know, a piece of advice I thought was really powerful for me just in that moment, which is around when you're going to ask for someone for help, actually going with a particular question, and so having a consciousness of, okay, well, this person can help me specifically on X, because it enables that person to be able to say yes much more readily. I thought that there was real pearl in there, and then another one that's come from you, and I'll ask you next, kind of any advice for my question to come will be around kind of advice to anyone else who might be thinking of starting something, be it a podcast or kind of some sort of side hustle, what advice you might give to them. What though I've learned from you, from that story of Holly Holly Ransom, haven't watched that episode yet. I will get onto that. But from that story, I know you'd shared in the past that you tried to get in touch. I didn't know that it was 20 times. That's amazing, a kind of persistence. But again, you'd shared that that actually you were grateful in the end that she didn't say yes until you were further down mm-hmm. the line, because actually you then felt more that you were able to bring your best self. And I use that as an example myself of when people say no to opportunities that I have, let's say coming on the kind of leadership confidence, this series, the leadership confidence series, when I get no's back, I'm like, okay, it's all happening for me rather than to me, and not to lose confidence in myself around that no. It just doesn't necessarily mean not right now is the reframe there. So in terms of that question of if you were kind of giving any advice for anyone else, what might that look like, starting anything new, possibly on the side?
Yeah, I mean if I can, to just add to what you mentioned earlier, I think that was a massive learning, I think, is, having someone like Holly on 40 episodes in, because you're ready to ask the right questions and your preparation is the right amount, and you sort of show her in the right sort of perspective to listeners, I think, and she talks a lot about thinking outward. And this actually goes into answering your question around, she says one thing, nerves are selfish. And when you hear that, you sort of scratch your head going, what do you mean by that? But she kind of clarifies that by saying, when you're nervous, you're sort of thinking about yourself and how you look to the world. And she sort of, she gave it in the event context where she goes and presents or interviews an Obama, for example. And she said, if you think about the guest and the audience and think outward and think that they're focused on Obama, not yourself, then you shouldn't be selfish. And sure, there's a narrative that selfishness is, so being selfish is good, because then you sort of more focused and you come prepared, so that's true as well. But I think that was a really interesting perspective, which kind of flipped nervousness in a very different light. And to your question around starting something, I think the thing I'll say with that is, if you're going to start something, do it for 6 months, right? I think, and I think you've spoken about this in your work as well, I think don't start it just for the sake of it, because I think very quickly it becomes mundane and process oriented, and you don't get the accolades early on. Like, I still remember even now, like, often I'll post and I'll get one like, or I'll get two likes, or I'll get no one listening to the episode, and that's okay. I think 50 episodes, the one thing I'm appreciative of is I have stuck through the process. I think, and that's been frankly a surprise for me, because I think I in the past used to have a tendency to kind of stop doing something if it didn't work and if you didn't see results straight away. So I think do it because you want to do it, and I think be aware of the work involved. I think a podcast, for example, yes, you see the output, but there's a lot of work that goes into it prior, like preparation, editing, and a lot of it is admin in a general sense, which is not hot and exciting and glamorous as it seems on the outside. So I think do it because you're truly passionate about it. And I think do it, I always say, like people ask me all the time around monetary benefits of a podcast or a business, and I always say you first want to give a value and solve a problem in a sense, and then the money comes posted, right? And I don't know, you talk about this a lot as well in coaching particularly. You want to solve someone's problem or provide them value, and then they're willing to pay you for it. I think that's really important, and that's something I always am aware of with the podcast is, if I'm a listener, am I going to enjoy this episode, or am I going to click listen on this and not do it for kind of my own reasons? I think that's the other one. And I think the other one is also try. I think we're in a world where I think either hopefully trying is becoming more encouraged, and there's more of a tendency to just experiment and try. And I like something that's very big in the tech world is build in public. You share your good, bad, and ugly in public. And I know you're a big believer in that. Yeah. We share your kind of, and obviously your personality comes into this. Like if you're very introverted, that's going to come with time. You're not going to be public from day one, but I think be willing to share your learnings, because I think that that brings on a certain set of followers and supporters who see your kind of darkest moments and see your raw moments, and they want to support you with that. Because I think someone was at an event the other day, and then someone used the example of Harry Potter. And this was really fascinating. And they said, why do people connect with Harry Potter? And it got me really thinking. It's not because that he was Harry Potter, but it's because he actually lost his parents at a very young age. Mm. So I think the point there being that he looked at what he sacrificed, not by choice, but just by circumstance, to get what he's got. So people are willing to relate to Harry Potter and be okay with his success because look at what he had to give up for it. And he can't celebrate that with his parents. So I think the point there being is that there's always a sacrifice, either by choice or by circumstance, in your journey. So be willing to do that. And the last one I'd probably say is, I think there's something great in today's world is building on the side, like you said, side hustles. And I think that's important. But I think the point to be aware there is, how do you have the energy for that? And how do you carve out time in your calendar for it? Again, I know you talk about this quite a bit. And I didn't appreciate that till I started it, because I think when you started, when something's your own and it's got your name against it, you want to make it good and you want to do a good job at it. And it sort of becomes a 24/7 job sometimes, where you're thinking about it late at night, you're thinking about it early in the morning. You can sort of get very lost in it. But I think that's important to be aware of that, but also be aware of kind of putting in that work where, like I talked about it in my episode 50, where often an episode's out on Tuesday and I get to Sunday and I'm like, oh, I just want to go out and for a drink or just watch Netflix tonight. I don't want to do this. But then that self-accountability to myself is what drives me. Like no one's going to call me and ask why haven't I done this or where is the episode. Yeah. But that self-accountability of putting in the work and going through with a commitment where I tell the guests, okay, it's going to come out on this day and actually comes out on that day, I think is confidence building in itself. So those would be some of the things I'd say. But again, I'm also on a journey myself learning it. I'd be curious to hear your thoughts. I think you've done this, you've taken a leap of faith, and you're clearly showing success through it.
Well, I think in terms of that, for me, it comes down to that why, that first point that you shared, or which seeded throughout them. Like that makes you get up and, you know, get power through the more boring parts of the day, or the no's and the setbacks and the resilience and the consistency and the no one watches the episode or whatever that looks like. It's like if you've got a clear kind of vision of what you want, what change you want, and to Holly Ransom's point around kind of focus, you know, if you're interviewing Obama, it's not about me, it's about the audience, it's about serving, and it's about being part of something kind of greater or some sort of change. So with that in mind, I mean, what's the future for you? What's your vision? Where would you like to take the podcast? What kind of change would you like to make? yeah, anything that you can share there would be really fascinating.
Yeah, but it's sort of timely because I've been thinking about that quite a bit. I think one of the benefits of doing 50 episodes is I've shown, hopefully, that I'm willing to put in the work. And I think that was something that I didn't have. I didn't have a portfolio in the past to kind of show like I built it from scratch. I think one of the things that I really enjoyed is building that hub of content and having 50 sort of almost supporters in a way, and people that I can learn from in an individual sense. But how do I share that beyond the podcast?
Yeah.
And I mentioned earlier that being industry agnostic and kind of combining life and work, I think one of the kind of threads that has come up through the podcast and through sort of been fortunate recently to speak to a couple of universities and sort of coach a few students here and there is I think a lot of students focus on the job and the outcome, but there's a step before that that perhaps there isn't as much attention, which is communication, presentation, even cultural integration. I think there's a lot of international students that come to Australia or the UK or go to the US, and frankly, I think they really struggle with building a network or how to put themselves out there or how to understand some of the lingo or the language and how to present themselves. So I think if I can connect some of these guests and some of the content with those underserviced parts of the community, that would be really exciting. So I'm in the midst of launching something called Curiosity Center, which as the name says, is really kind of how do you pick your curiosity and how do you provide that in a broader sense. So I'm in conversations with hopefully a few partners in the future to launch that in Q1 next year. And I've said this now publicly, so kind of back to self-accountability, I have to go through with it, I guess. but essentially what it's going to be, to keep it short, is initially starting off with events, so keeping it at 20 or 30 students in an event format where there'd be 2 to 3 guests, and sharing some of the experiences in a private setting. And really combining education, community, and connection. So education, sharing their learning. So, for example, if the topic is about how do you move from China to Australia, I've had about 3 guests who've done that in different facets. So really going into the detail about how they did it, how they integrated into new culture, how they got used to Australia. Then the community aspect being, can the students connect with these guests in a later stage in a mentoring or coaching or conversation capacity? Because I think the other side there, I mentioned around bringing out Holly. I didn't have a common connection with Holly to reach out to. That's perhaps why she didn't respond. So when the podcast came about, there was a value there for both parties. And I think that's often a challenge for students, whether it's high school students or university, is how do you provide value to the person you're reaching out to? So I think one thing that I've learned recently, you can ask good questions. That's some way you can provide value, but students might not know that.
Yeah.
So how can I sort of help mold them to do that? And then third one is just connection. I think building a community, like we said earlier, where people are willing to share some of their challenges and their pitfalls and their pains. So yeah, quite lofty goals. Initially similar to the podcast, hopefully make small steps and start somewhere, and then we'll see where things are in a year's time. But that's something I'm working on, and then hopefully I can get that off the ground in the next few months.
Amazing.
And the podcast will still continue, by the way. Podcast will still continue in the same format.
Yeah, we've got 50 and 100 more episodes to look forward to. You can celebrate what they look like. And I loved, I know we're running slightly over time, so I'm conscious of that, but I loved the choice of domain name as well. I don't know whether you've revealed that, but the excluding the .com, I thought that was very clever. Was it a .xyz?
Yeah, it's fairly random, and I've kind of recently realized xyz is actually associated often with the crypto community.
Oh, right.
So that's an interesting kind of byproduct of that. But again, I think it goes back to just trying to find a separator in the busy world we live in. And I think you mentioned it where it stood out, because every email sort of ends in a .com or a .com.au. So that was kind of in a very novice way, just trying to find a differentiator from a domain name perspective. So
yeah, I love it. Taps into that curiosity element for sure. Amazing. And so I think maybe where we can end is You mentioned that Holly Ramson was was a guest, a dream guest that you kind of really, really hope to have on. In terms of future dream guests, if you're going to put it out to the universe or the community to try and kind of link you up with or connect you with, who might some of those examples be, or what are you looking for, and how can we as a community support you?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say Chloe Temple, but I've been fortunate to have you on the show, so that's definitely, I'd encourage your listeners to check that episode out if they haven't already. I mean, I've always had a personal fascination with sport, and sport in any facet. I mean, I've had three guests who have been in sport. I'm yet to have an athlete in sport, and I think athletes are just fascinating people to me. I think some of the things we spoke about earlier, they really sort of encompass that and show that, and failure in a very public sense for an athlete, and often athletes don't achieve what they want to achieve. So watch out, there might be one coming up in the next few weeks with an athlete in Australia. But I mean, in terms of dream guests, I mean, I'm a big tennis fan, so I mean, a Federer, Nadal, or even a Kyrgios. I mean, for Australian listeners, I think Kyrgios is a very complex character in a sense. I think if I can share some of his thinking and journey, that might be interesting in a setting if he feels comfortable with. And another one is Ben Crowe. I mean, I've actually been trying to get a hold of him, similar to the Holly example, just try. And he's had a very, I'm sure people have heard of him, but he's got a very strong connection with sport himself. I think he worked at Nike for a number of years in the late 90s, and then he was the coach for Andre Agassi, the professional tennis player, and then more recently working with Ash Barty and a number of Dylan Alcott and a number of Aussie athletes, and there's a lot of things that he talks about that I just love. But I want to hear about how he's come to clarify his thoughts and what have been some of the painful moments. And I read something recently, I think his father, if I'm correct, passed away at a young age, and I wonder what influence that had on him, and trying to understand him at a personal human level. I think, I know he talks a lot about human being, not human doing, and a lot of these phrases that just make sense, kind of like James Clear, they just make sense. So I think that would be interesting. So Ben, if you're listening to this, please agree to jump on, and I'd love to host you.
It was funny, as you were saying you were interested in athletes, I was thinking, he should get in contact with Ben Crowe. I'm sure he would have lots of connections to athletes. And then you shared that you wanted Ben Crowe on, and I'm like, yes, amazing. I'm a big Ben Crowe fan. He shares some incredible pieces. I think also there's Malcolm Gladwell shares that you mentioned a lot around kind of like people passing or history, like family members passing when at a young age. I think Malcolm Gladwell did a piece of research looking back at the most successful, whatever success means, people in history, and a lot of them had faced that sort of adversity very young young in life. So I thought that was really, really interesting that you're seeing actually come through throughout the podcast as you're sharing it. Well, thank you so much. I know we've run a little bit over, but that's just because there's been added, as you say, so much value. And I hope I'm excited to see who you get on in the coming year, what happens with the Curiosity Centre. And thank you for being a big supporter and inspiring me. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And can I just end with saying that I think a big kudos for the work you're doing. I think some of the things I said earlier, you're showing that in your work, and you've been quite public. And I'm glad you started this series. I know we spoke some months ago and you were apprehensive about it. So I'm glad this is now up and alive. And you inspire me. I think the step you've taken is a big deal that isn't taken lightly. So keep doing what you're doing, and then looking forward to it.
Amazing. Thanks everyone for watching, and speak soon. Bye.
Thank you.
I hope you took away some actionable insights and learnings from this conversation to apply to your lives and be 1% better every day. And I look forward to sharing the next episode with you next Tuesday. Stay tuned.